Welcome, everyone, once again to a brand new show. You listen live to the RF Sports Radio Show. It is Tuesday, March 1st. That's right, the first day in March. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this whole month, especially tonight. We're coming to you guys from our last show last Tuesday. We missed on Thursday because it was something we had to take care of, but we're back. We're back this week for Tuesday and Thursday, so I want to welcome everyone to the program once again. If you want to follow our show, the best thing to do is go to our website, rfsportsradio.com. That's rfsportsradio.com. Log on there. You can follow the show, find out what we're going to be talking about before we come on, and also interact with other listeners and other fans of the show as well, too. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get our show started. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Bring on my co-host real quick. Royce, how you doing tonight, man?
Happy Tuesday, Rodney. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of NBA stuff we got to talk about. Got to get into a little bit about the NFL Combine. And, of course, we're going to have our big debate tonight, which I've been talking about all week, and that's going to be the Melo versus LeBron. So I really got to find out who you like better, why you like them. And, of course, we got to have our debate. Everyone likes when we debate.
Good Sunday night. I will say this, though. The Mavericks are the hottest team in the NBA.
Yeah, they are.
They won tonight. So they are the hottest team in the NBA.
They did win tonight. And we're going to have an update for you guys later on in the show because Tyson Chandler did go down in their first half with a twisted ankle. So we got some new injury report to come up with. We'll get into that in the later half of the show. Hopefully it's not too serious, but we'll find that out later on in the show. But, Royce, first of all, man, before we get into our top stories, we want to let everyone know as well, we do have a new feature to the radio show. If you guys go to our website, go to rfsportsradio.com, and you can look on there and find our TV player. It's RF Sports Radio TV, and there you'll be able to follow all of our stuff live in living color and in sound for you to hear and for you to see. You can see interviews right now with Sean Marion, Roddy B, talk about the Mavericks, and, of course, Rick Carlisle as well, too. And when we go to games, these home games, you'll be able to watch the press conferences live and also interviews with the players live, too. I think that's a pretty neat deal. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy that, don't you think?
Yeah, we're in the 21st century, right? I'm glad to have it aboard.
That's right. Now, before we get to our top stories, I also, too, want to remind everyone, follow us on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/RFSportsRadio. You can follow everything on the show right there. Or email us at any time. Go to rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know you listen to the show, where you're listening to us from, and also your reaction to some of the topics that we talk about. Let's jump into the top stories real fast. Now, we've been talking a long time about this NFLPA agreement, the collective bargaining agreement, where the players' union kind of got a leg up today. They actually decertified themselves as a union late last week, and they did that in the effort to kind of sue the owners for some stuff they said was kind of wasn't on the up and up. Well, the judge ruled today that the lawsuit will stand. They were awarded the win in the lawsuit, and what that really means is they were suing the owners because they felt like the owners were holding back enough money to have a lockout for the next 2 years. We're talking about $4 billion here, people. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money,
$4 billion. But they did win the battle today, and they haven't decided exactly what the players' union will receive out of this $4 billion. But this is all TV revenue. And the owners, I mean, can you fault the owners for trying to protect themselves? I mean, they're looking at a lockout anyway. Why not have the money stockpile for that to happen?
Well, you know, not at all, Ronnie. Just think about it. You know, the average person knows he's going to lose his job or income's going to be cut off. Of course, now he's going to stockpile some money for those hard times. You know, this thing goes on further and further. I see a lockout. You know, we're looking at a deadline that's right around the corner, you know. So I think this thing is going to really drag out longer than it should. And I hate to see that, but I really do.
Yeah, it's definitely going to drag out longer than it should. I mean, like you said, the deadline is days away, and they still haven't come to any kind of agreement. Now they're in court fighting things out here. So you're right, it's going to take a long time for this to get settled out. And then the Players Union came out with a statement today that said this record shows that the NFL undertook contract renegotiations to advance his own interests and harm the interests of the players. They really felt like they were holding this money back in hopes for a lockout to come. But I don't blame the owners for holding money back. If you know it's going to be a fight, if you're going to build billion-dollar stadiums, if you're going to have this, all these employees that you have to pay, folks are going to be working even when the players are not working. So I don't blame them for holding a little money back.
No, you can't. And if you look at the rest of the country, nobody's getting a raise. Nobody's getting extra money. So, I mean, that's just the way the economy is now. And, you know, these guys got to figure something out. They got to get it done, man. And I can't fault them because, you know, if you think about it, they are owners. They put up a lot of money. You know, they put up a lot of risk. And these guys get a lot of money, you know. So that it's an investment, and I can understand that. It makes a really good sense.
And, yeah, exactly. And what I found was really interesting about the whole story was the fact that this was all about TV revenue. Now, we all watch TV on the big major channels, watching sports on Sunday, football Sunday, but this was more so to do about these direct TV packages. There was a huge number, 42% of direct TV's fees are non-refundable at this point. Right. So they wanted that money to be split up between all the players and some type of revenue sharing program. But I was surprised to know that direct TV had such a big role in that Sunday package with the way these players want to get paid. I thought that was pretty interesting right there.
You know, they make so much money off the stadium and concessions and the game and tickets. But the bulk of the money is the TV revenue. You're absolutely right. You know, you got to look at the advertisers involved, too. Because if you think about it, football is the number one sport in the country. I mean, you know, who doesn't watch football? So who doesn't watch football?
You're absolutely right about that. We're talking about a little more football. Talk about a little bit more football here. We've been following this story for a while as well, too. But we broke the news about Carson Palmer wanting to get out of Cincinnati, does not want to play there again. The owner came back and said that, you know, no matter what happens, Carson will be here. We want him in our long-term plans as a Bengal, so he will play here. Well, Carson, after hearing about all this talk about them planning to keep him, not wanting to trade him, made some comments to a friend of his, who later put those comments out in the media. So this is really hearsay, but for what he says is, he says, I'll never play in a Bengals uniform ever in Cincinnati whatsoever. He also says that I have $80 million in the bank, and I don't need to play football for money anymore. I only want to play for the love of the game for a chance to win. But this team was built around Carson Palmer, am I right, Royce? I mean, he's bailing out on the team that was built around him.
Right, absolutely. You know, in the last couple of years, we saw this team fall apart. And if you think about it, Carson Palmer really had a terrible year last year. You know, he's probably one of his worst years as a Bengal. But, you know, something bigger than that. It's a lot going on in Cincinnati. I don't know if I put it on Marvin Lewis or the organization, but this team is definitely falling apart.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that. I mean, I think it all
and how does that leave
in my opinion.
His brother's backup.
Exactly. His brother's backup. This whole thing really happened to fall apart, in my opinion, when they decided to re-sign Marvin Lewis to another deal. I mean, everyone talked about him being on the hot seat for years and years and years, and they have a chance to go after some of these other top-notch coaches that were available at the time, but you decided to re-sign Marvin Lewis coming off a bad, bad year as a coach. So I think they really kind of, you know, set things in motion for the Cincinnati organization. So we're going to see what happens on that front. I thought that was interesting as well. Another top story is we're on the NFL. Let's talk a little bit about some of the players that are now feeling the wrath of the lockout. Some of these players are being cut. A couple of notable players that got cut over the last 7 days. Clint Portis was cut from the Washington Redskins.
Right.
Big names. Chris Jenkins for the New York Jets. And also Jason Taylor from the New York Jets as well, too. Although the Jets did come out today and said they decided to keep LT on the team for this upcoming season, whenever there is a season. But a lot of these guys are starting to feel the pinch right now because as a free agent, you can't sign with any other team. We talked about Bob Sanders last week. You look at guys like Vince Young. He can't go out there and get another team at this point. These guys are going to be basically unemployed. Even the players that have contracts are going to be out of work as well, too. I mean, they'll start feeling this pretty soon, Royce. I think, you know, if you don't have a job, you don't have a job. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, this once again, it goes to show how bad things are when it takes the NFL. These guys are really in a bind. I mean, you know, we're looking at us. They live in, you know, salary of millions, you know, and to lose that, you know, it's really hard. It's going to be tough. You know, I really hope they work it out, but I think the owners do have an advantage as far as holding out. I don't think the players will be able to do that, to hold out even as long as the owners will. So it's really going to affect a lot of people. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. And so what I did was I thought about this and said, you know what, unemployed is unemployed, no matter if you're a football player, no matter if you work at assembly line. So I came up with 10 different things that the unemployed NFL player can do during this time when he's not going to be working. And these are 10 jobs that he could have immediately that will really, you know, help him get through these tough times. So are you ready for my 10 list right now?
Right.
Okay. These are really in no particular order. I was just having some random thoughts today, and I said, you know what? I got to help these guys out. They're not going to be playing football. They're not going to be on TV. They're going to need some pocket change at the very least. They're going to need some money out there some kind of way. This is where I came up with 10 things they could do while they're unemployed, okay?
Okay.
Number 10, what they could do. You could be a car salesman. Think about an NFL player being a car salesman.
Right.
You know a lot of people, okay? People are going to buy from you, and you can make a lot of money real quick as a car salesman, right? So I got that as number 10.
Okay.
Number 9, you can start your online radio show, okay?
I did it. We make that last. That's true.
And then number 8, you can always go back and be the mascot for your alma mater. You know, if you went to college, you went to high school, you know, people want to know who you are. You can put the hat on. You can put the costume on. No one know who you are, and you can still make a nice little check. No one have to know. You know, no one has to know it all.
That's a good one.
And then I have for number 7, okay, you can be a night stalker at Walmart. Okay, nothing wrong with that. No one really goes in there a lot at night. You know, you can slide in, slide out. You can work in the back, unload the truck. No one has to know. And then, of course, you get the benefit of getting a discount at Walmart. You don't need that if you don't have no job.
You're going to need
to work at a grocery store or a Walmart if you ain't got no job. I'm sorry.
That's what
you're going to have to do.
Once you put the uniform on, nobody be able to distinguish you from anybody
else. No one knows. There's a lot of guys. And no disrespect to night stalkers around the world that listen. There's nothing wrong at all, but there's a lot of people that do stalk at night that used to play football.
Right.
So don't get it twisted.
Well, you know what? It'd be even better to go to work for Home Depot, since Home Depot had like 55 Olympians, you know, working for them. So they're pretty flexible for schedule-wise. So Home Depot would be a better place than Walmart. Go ahead. Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
There you go. And then for number 6, I have you can deliver phone books. Okay, nothing wrong with that.
You can load up your car.
You got a big SUV. You got something big that's taking up a lot of space. whatever you have, load it up. Deliver the phone books. No one's got to know. You go early in the morning. You can have a paper route. You know, goes right along with that as well. You know, put your vehicle to use.
That's right. You know what? Whoever sees the guy that drops the phone books off on your front porch, I've never seen it, you know.
So
you won't be seen, right? I've never seen this guy. All I know is the bomb was there. I've never seen the guy.
It's a perfect job for the out-of-work NFL player. So now we got our first 5 out the way. These are the top 5 things that an NFL player can do while he's unemployed during his downtime, during the lockout time, to keep his pockets straight and keep everything situated out there. The number five thing that he could do is he can date an entertainer. You know, he might not be putting in a lot of money, but you find your nice little, you know, singer out there, actress. You know, you might be
a good-looking
guy.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Escort to the Grammys or awards.
I got you. Go with a football player. Okay.
Then while you stay in the limelight a little bit, and you know, you can use some HUD money to pay for everything.
Right.
There you go.
Right. There you go.
And then for number 4, Number four is you can get your reality show. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Ocho Cinco's got one. T.O.'s got one. A lot of players are pretty much going to have reality shows pretty soon. Michael Vick had one. You know, guys going to have reality shows pretty soon. Believe that. You'll see a lot of them popping up. I mean, the football wives can have one, and half of them are not wives. Then I know the football players can have one as well, too.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, couldn't have enough.
There you go. And
okay,
then number three is you can do you an album. Okay, nothing wrong with that. A lot of guys want to rap. A lot of them want to have record labels. You know, take this time, get you some recording done, go overseas, do a little touring. You know, become something else. But, you know, get your album, get your record label.
Yeah, well, whoever on our chest could do it, I guess anybody could.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And then the number two thing that you can do, okay? The number two thing you can do is you can always be a spokesman for whatever you can find. And I mean whatever
right.
you can find. LASIK
right.
eye surgery, weight loss,
right.
Whatever you can find out there, be a spokesman for it and be proud of it. Now, one thing I thought about when I thought about this was, you know those guys that stand out there with the Statue of Liberty that want you to come do your taxes?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of,
right.
There you go. There you go.
You
that's
know,
the perfect
Jimmy
job
Johnson
for you.
Did an extended commercial. So
There you go.
All right. I got you.
So be a spokesman,
that's pretty
okay?
good, Rodney.
Be a spokesman, okay? And then the number one thing that the out-of-work, unemployed, locked-out NFL player can do, and this is, I hope, what they'll do, the number one thing they can do is go back to school and get your degree. That's the number
yeah.
one thing you can
there
do.
There you go. There
you know
there
you
left go.
Early, you took the money, take this
right.
time out, go back to school, finish it up, get your degree, and you won't have to worry about doing any of the other nine jobs that we will
right.
know. So that's the key
true.
To
all
it all.
Playing football. You're absolutely
all
right.
playing football. There you go. Go back and
right.
get your degree while you got time. So those are my top 10 things that are out of work, unemployed, locked out, NFL players can do. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You listen to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective.
This
there
is the RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm here live with my good friend, CEO and creator of LawApps.com, Jared Rice. Why don't you let everyone know exactly what LawApps.com is?
It's a mobilized version of an attorney's regular website so that people can access the site on mobile phones like smartphones, whether it be HTC, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm, or any Windows-based system.
So why does an attorney need LawApps.com?
Well, if you have a regular website and people are pulling it up on their mobile phone, obviously they can't see it. So if you don't have a mobilized version of your site, you're missing out on millions of customers. And, you know, for business, that's not a good thing, especially in 2011.
So what's the best way for people to get in contact with LawApps.com?
Go to our website at lawapps.com, and apps is spelled with a Z on the end, not an S. Or they can give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-888-974-6784. That's 1-888-974-6784.
And it's lawapps.com, LAWAPPZ.com. Get your law firm out of the dark ages. Tax time is coming. And you know you want your rapid refund as quick as possible. Call On Time Tax Services at 214-431-7853. That's 214-431-7853. Mention RF Sports Radio and get half off on your preparation fees. Call On Time Tax Services, 214-431-7853, to get your rapid refund on time.
Calling all models, calling all actors, all music artists, calling all comedians and producers. I got a question for you. Have you been having trouble finding gigs, and not just gigs, but paid gigs? Well, if that's you, look no further.
Okay.
We've got the perfect solution for your problem. Go to WeBookGigs.info right now.
Okay.
Sign up and create your profile. And let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get updates about shows and paid gigs sent directly to your personal Twitter, Facebook, email, and your phone. Now, the best thing about WeBookGigs.info is it's absolutely no cost to sign up. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. WeBookGigs.info right now.
Right now. Hi, this is Pastor Monica Wallace. I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Encounter every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter each and every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hear what the Kingdom has to offer you and have your own encounter. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time with me, Pastor Monica Wallace, and may God bless you.
Man, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Blow Fly, Mayhem, Kenfo Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also featuring production from super producer none other than Big Chris. Available now in all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, E-Music, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait, go pick up Smoke in the City now. It's blazing.
And we are back live. You're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. It's me, your host, RF, along with my co-host, Royce. Let me bring him back on real quick. We just got through debuting our top 10 things to the NFL player that's locked out, unemployed, what he can do during his downtime. If you guys want to go back and check that list, go to our website at rfsportsradio.com. We'll post the list up right there, along with comments also as well, too. So be looking for that. We talked about the top stories going on right now, from players losing jobs to players getting new jobs. What I want to talk about right now is about the NFL Combine, which has been going on since last week. It concluded today, finishing up everything. The DBs were the last to go. So to give you guys the quick results of what's going on real fast, the fastest 40-yard dash time today for the combine for this year was 4.2, and that was done by Van Dyke, a DB out of Miami. That's 4.2 is lightning fast. You know, if you
can
say that, is lightning fast. The best 40 time that's ever been put up, most recent best rather, was Chris Johnson. He ran a 4.24, and that's a running back. Mm-hmm. And this guy here is a DB. He ran a 4.28. Other DBs, Patrick Peterson, a guy that the Cowboys are looking to get, in the LSU cornerback, ran a 4.34. D. Scott, another running back from Maryland, ran a 4.34 as well. Gates, a wide receiver from Abilene Christian, of all places, ran a 4.37 also. You also had a couple other players, Fannin. Julio Jones, whose stock rose so high during this combine, ran a 4.39 and also had the best long jump, almost 11 feet in the long jump. Come to find out, this guy had a fractured foot, Royce, and did this. Fractured foot, ran a 4.39 and jumped over 11 feet, you know, on the broad jump. And it's pretty good for a guy with a fractured foot. You had one before.
Yeah, on a bad foot, that's fantastic, man. Imagine what he could do on a good foot, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he can on a good foot. Get it? Okay, I got you. Yeah, but that's pretty fast. I mean, these guys have been putting some fantastic times up. I mean, you know, I look at this class. They are really in great physical condition. I don't know if this group of athletes, man. I mean, I watch some of these guys. These guys are real athletic. This is probably the most athletic class to come out, you know, quarterbacks, running backs, and defensive backs that I've not seen in a while. You know, who knows what they're going to be in the NFL, but, I mean, judging from the compound, you got some pretty good prospects. It's going to be interesting to see how the draft goes this year.
Oh, yeah. I think it really is, because you got, like you said, a whole talent just of players out there that are ready just to get to a team. And the thing is, this is your last chance to really see what these players can do.
Right,
you can't bring
them
into camp because of the lockout. So you got to go by this. I think the combine this year is more important than any of the year that I can really remember, you know, because of the fact of you're not going to see these guys in mini camps. You know, so my question is to you real fast. You know, is the combine really necessary? I mean, I know this year is really – you know, kind of the circumstance that they really have to have it this year. But on a normal basis, really, the combine even necessary? You know, because really we want to judge a guy based on him running 40s, bench press, vertical jump, broad jump, or do you want to really judge him by what he does on the field?
Well, you know, you got to have a little bit of both. I mean, judging from – I mean, you do have game film to look at, and I appreciate they watch these guys all year. But, you know, that like you said, it's the last chance to look at these guys. And I wonder how much of this lockout and the negotiation is going to affect the draft, you know. And I know people have predicted the top 10. I think it's going to be totally different now because we're seeing players not sign. So it's going to be a lot. I think these teams are looking to replace a lot of players, you know, a big-time contract and players this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really weird. I don't think it's going to go in any other order that people have predicted. I think it's going to go totally different this year. And my prediction is the Cowboys might go after Cam Newton.
Well, that'd be a glorious day for me if they do, I guarantee you.
Right.
And
right.
While we're talking about that, let me just say, as far as my opinion about the combine, it's really good, you know, to kind of have these stats and these 40 times. But honestly, it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, you're looking for these stats, these 40 times. I mean, you're looking for that for a basis of, you know what, this will help people get excited about the team. These will help people get excited about the player. We might sell a few more tickets. You know, they're really looking at it along that line. I mean, if you think about it like this. Last year, the highest 40 time was a 4.28 ran by Ford, a wide receiver out of Clemson. Now, where is he at? You haven't heard about him in the league. You know, you haven't heard about him. You look at Holiday. He ran a 4.34 from LSU last year. Haven't heard about him. You know, it's like this whole thing is kind of like, you know, it's good to get people excited, get fans excited. It's good talk for us to talk about back and forth. But really, does it really mean anything? I mean, I want to judge a player based on what he did in a bowl game, in a high-pressure situation, or during the Senior Bowl, or during the season.
Right.
You know, can you really judge a player off of this? I mean, if you had the number one pick, you know, what's going to weigh into your mind more heavily, what they did in the combine or what they did for the season? I mean, what are you going to look at most?
Well, you're right. Like I said, these guys have been studying game film. They basically know. And the combine is just like it's just like a show. It's just like Detroit rolling out their 2011 model of cars or anything else, or the phones, you know, rolling out the new Blackberries. And it really is just a show. But they do have an idea. They watch these guys, I mean, for years in college. And, you know, they got endless hours of game film, you know, they can watch. And a lot of them, you know, were in the bowl, and they played in the purchase situation. So, you know, like I say, it's just really for show. And, you know, it really doesn't mean much. And like I said, time doesn't mean anything. We've seen guys go to training camp and get hurt and end up not playing even the whole year. So, really, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just for show. It's rolling out the next coming class or the new model or the new style of running back or player or whatever. So, it's really all for show. But like I said, these guys have watched endless hours of film. You know, they've been watching these guys probably from, you know, ever since they were redshirted, they were back freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go all the way back to high school. You know, you have the number one running back in the country. Quite naturally, he's going to be the number one running back in the, you know, coming out of college. So it's really just a show. It really is.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think it is, just like you said, a whole big show thing. And one thing, you know, some players do take advantage of the show. You know, a lot of players do move up on the draft board based on what they do at the combine or you know, how they perform in certain situations. And one player that we talked about before was Julio Jones. He really moved up a lot by his performance at the combine. Another guy from right here locally here in DeSoto, Von Miller, moved up tremendously on his combine. The guy ran a 4.5 in the 40. Okay, he was one of the top performers not only in the Senior Bowl, but on the combine as well too. So the guy's really making his move. They're talking about even him going as high as number 3 to Denver.
Wow.
You know, just based on what he did in the combine. So.
Wow.
You know, like some players take advantage of it, some players may need it, you know, but like you said, it is a bunch of show. But one player I want to talk about in general, and it's got to be Cam Newton. Now, Cam Newton had a very impressive day throwing in front of the scouts in Auburn when he did that. He also had a very impressive combine as well, too. The guy had a great 40 time, threw the ball well. I mean, there's no question about it. We talked about it before. He's got to be the best athlete available in the draft right now.
Right.
So why is there such a big thing about him not going number one? If you're the Carolina Panthers, don't you want a guy that's going to light up the franchise, a guy that's going to sell tickets? You know, don't you want to go for the best player possible if you're drafting number one?
Well, we've seen how some of these number one draft picks have turned out. And I can understand rightfully so, because a lot of these quarterbacks turn out to be busts. But, you know, the goal of any team this year is to be Green Bay and Pittsburgh. And if you look at the year Michael Vick had, so you really got to, you know, that's the future of quarterbacks. You know, you got to look at Revis as far as cornerbacks. You know, you got to get bigger, faster, stronger. You know what I mean? And that's the goal of any team. So I think they're going to draft, according to this calendar class coming out this year,
right.
So it's going to be really, you know, it's going to be a really, really big, I'm going to be watching that draft like a hog, Rodney, because I think it's going to be really, really different this year. And like I said, we might even have football at the beginning of the year. So I think a lot of things play into factor, into the draft. And really the whole future of football right now, you know what I mean? So,
right.
We might, you know, who knows who's going to go number one, you know, that's the thing. I think they're going, because like I said, the goal is to beat Green Bay and Pittsburgh, so you're going to do whatever it takes. And, you know, you got teams like Philly, you got Baltimore, you got, you know, so you got to have a good quarterback, a good defense, good offense, good special teams. So it's going to take a lot. They're going to build on that. It's going to be interesting to see.
And, you know, my thing is, you know, if you're drafting in the top, in the first round of the draft, my advice to any team drafting in the first round is if you need a quarterback, take Cam Newton first. Put him first on the board.
Right.
If you need a quarterback, because the guy's the best quarterback in the draft, I don't care about it. He's not a pro. He can't make pro throws.
You know,
damn all of that. I mean, this guy here is the best athlete in the draft.
Right.
Period.
Right.
He's won a national championship. He's the best quarterback in college football. He's the best player in college football. Won the Heisman Trophy. You know, there's a reason why you're drafting in the first round, because you don't have a good quarterback. So take the best one on the board, you know, period.
You know, and
take the best one on the board.
With his talent, you can easily convert him into a wideout, you know, anything.
Easily.
I mean, the guy, you know, with the offense they running now, I mean, the guy is just, you know, pure talent alone, he should be in the top five, you know, just on talent alone. Right.
I agree.
I think he's going to go real high, you know. And the publicity because the guy's been on a perfect, his conduct has been excellent, you know, so. As long as he stay up under the radar, I think he'll go real high, Rodney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too. And like you said, I think all eyes will be glued on that NFL draft, because that'll be the only NFL action we have for a long time after the draft is over in April. So we'll keep that on the schedule for coming up in the next couple of months. We do have a big March Madness deal we got planned coming up, and also a draft we got coming up as well, too. So you guys stay with us. Make sure you check us out on the website, rfsportsradio.com. Let's take a quick break real fast, Royce, and when we come back, me and you are going to have it out. We'll talk about the NBA East, of course, at first, and the Knicks, and, of course, the Heat game. And then me and you are going to have it out. It's got to be Melo versus LeBron.
Well, I know
so
you're
going to
bring it
out.
I know what you're going to say. I'm ready for you, right? Bring it on.
Well, let's get it on. And callers, if you want to get in on this Melo versus LeBron debate, make sure you give us a call, 323-927-2906. Go ahead and start calling right now so we can get you in and get you on with the debate. That's 323-927-2906. We'll be right back on the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest-growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
up out there with it, world?
What's up with
it? It's your boy Chosen. Man, and I'm back in the building, you dig? And for all of y'all that haven't already done it, you know what I'm saying? Go out there and join IcebreakerProductions.com right now. Support your favorite ICE artist right now. You know what I'm saying? Get a ringtone, get a t-shirt, buy the calendar right now. Or you can even pick up a teddy bear. You know what I'm talking about? We got everything.
Got everything.
Every Wednesday, y'all need to be checking out the Icebreaker Radio Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m.
When you hear it, IcebreakerProductions.com.
Already.
You know what I'm saying? Scroll down about the middle of the page and click on the player, and you got us. You know what I'm saying? And if that ain't working for you, hop on iTunes and listen to us on the podcast. I ain't tripping. You know, you can get us on anywhere. And if you really want to know what's going down at all times with Icebreaker Productions, you got to follow us on Twitter at Icebreaker Radio. And if you're a Facebook lover, hit us up, Icebreaker Productions. You know what they do. And for all of y'all that like them live, fresh videos, you know you can follow us on the YouTube channel, Chosen972.
Right
now. If you're feeling the old school and, you know what I'm saying, you still on MySpace, hit us up, 972. We ain't tripping. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hop into this album, the reason that you're hearing my voice.
Uh-huh.
You like one of these artists, you know what I'm saying? So get your jam on, get your lean on.
Yeah.
And I'll be back at you later on in the future with more ICE announcements. Already.
And we are back live on the RF Sports Radio Show. I want to thanks to a special shout out to Icebreaker Productions. They've been advertising with us since we started the show. And their website is growing as well. Check them out at IcebreakerProductions.com. And also WeBookGigs.info as well, too. They've been on with us since we started the show as well. Thank you guys for hanging in there with us and advertising with us for so long. Let me bring on Royce back on real quick. We're going to talk a little bit first before we get into our big debate about Melo versus LeBron. We'll talk about the NBA East at first as well.
Okay.
The reason why I wanted to talk about this today was because me and you watched the Knicks and the Heat game. And the Knicks kind of they pulled out their win on the road against the Miami Heat. So they got me to thinking, like, I mean, these battles between the Knicks, the Heat, you can throw the Hawks,
Orlando,
Magic,
right.
You know, Boston.
Orlando.
These are going to continue
right.
all season. They're going to continue next year, years after that. And even with the trades that have went down in the NBA from Deron Williams going to New Jersey, you know, Mike Bibby, you know, the story broke out today, even though he got traded to
right.
The Wizards bought his contract out. He forfeited the next year of his contract, $6.2 million. To become another free agent, and now he's going to sign with Miami. So Bibby
right.
will be in Miami, and they're going to cut Carlos Arroyo. So now they got to upgrade in point guard, maybe the point guard that they're looking for. But this got me to thinking, like, about this NBA East. The East is going to be jumping up here pretty soon, and not just for this
wow.
season, but for years to come as well, too, Royce.
Yeah,
I mean, you
yeah,
think about the teams right now. Let's look
it's
at the
loaded.
Standings as they stand right now. The playoffs started today. You have the number one seed would be Boston, then Miami, then Chicago, Orlando, Atlanta, New York Knicks at number six, the 76ers, and the Pacers, the Indiana Pacers at number eight. I've got to imagine that a team like Boston, Miami, Chicago, Orlando, the top four teams, I mean, you don't want to play the New York Knicks in the first round, am I right?
No, they're dangerous. And you know this team is really brand new, Rodney. And from what I saw last night when they beat Miami, I thought they played pretty well. But you got to give a credit to Carmelo Anthony. The boys are beasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's and they hadn't gelled yet as a team. But I'm more worried about the supporting cast than I am about Stoudemire and Melo. And if these guys, they need somebody else to step up. So they're going to have some help. These guys are really going to step up. Are they going to find a third player to come off the bench or something for that extra spark? That's the only way they're going to get over the hump.
And you know what, though? I think you're right about supporting cast, but I got to say, I think Chauncey Billups was really the big steal from that
right.
trade. I mean, to get
yeah,
a guy like
was.
That to come in. I mean, at one
right.
point in time, he went to seven straight NBA Eastern Conference Finals. He run the Eastern
yeah,
Conference
he's no joke.
When it kind of
points
cards for a long
night.
Time.
Right.
He
hit the big shot last night, Chauncey Billups. He's the big shot, Chauncey. So you are right about that. But you know, for these guys to start in the middle of the season, you know, I like to see a rule. You know,
If you start with a team, you need to finish with a team. That's my, you know, this movement, man, that really has thrown everything out of whack. It really has. But it does give teams like New York a chance, you know, and teams that have been playing together like Chicago and Boston, and even Miami this year do have an advantage over New York, you know, to me. That's my personal opinion. But it's going to be a battle, man, and I think it's going to come down to those four teams you named. You know, unless we have somebody sleeping waiting, I don't see that. You know, maybe Philadelphia. I'll give them a shot, maybe. But other than that, I don't see anybody else going to the pot.
And then you look at a team like the Boston Celtics, who are the defending Eastern Conference champions. I mean, they are the elder statesmen in that particular conference. But they even had to pull off a move. They let Kendrick Perkins go, a guy that gave them size down low, who's been with them for throughout the playoff runs, throughout the championship
runs. That's
giant
to me, right.
Yeah, they gave him up for Jeff Green because they needed a guy that's going to be able to guard those hybrid twos and hybrid three positions.
Right.
The LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, you know, Derrick Rose. They have to find a guy that can guard them, that's got enough length to guard them, and can also be a serviceable player on the offensive side of the ball, because Kendrick Perkins can do nothing but stay down low, and there's really not that much competition on the East when you look at big men outside of Dwight Howard, Al Horford, players like that. But you got to have somebody guard these Carmelos and these LeBrons. You know, you got to have somebody
guard them. What you going to do in the playoffs? Say if you play the Lakers. I mean, you got to have big men. Lakers are big. So, I didn't understand that trade. I thought Ken DeFetcher would be a Celtic for a while. You know, the guy as much improved from last year. Remember, he got hurt last year. He didn't get to finish the end of the season. But he came back, you know, even better and stronger. And the guy has creative offense. I think he's going to be an asset to another team. But that was surprising to me. Like I said, it may have been the East, but you also got to go out west. And the West is a little bit taller. I think they're a little bit bigger.
I think the main thing that you got to concentrate on if you're a team out there in the East is getting out of the East. I mean, it's going to be hard.
Right.
To get out the Eastern Conference, man. It's going to be very, very hard to get out there. But let me ask you real quick while we're talking about the East. A team out East is really doing really, really well. I think a team that can actually end up being the number one seed when it's all said and done, they're only two games back in the loss column from being number one, and that's Chicago. No one's really talking about these guys. I mean, they do get Joakim Noah back after the All-Star break. No one talks about that. But they've been on a tear. I mean, they've been on a win streak right now. They beat some good teams. They beat some good teams in the West. They beat some good teams in the East. They've won three in a row. I mean, people got to start talking about the Chicago team, especially Derrick Rose being the MVP.
Oh, yeah. He's my candidate for MVP. As long as you got Derrick Rose on the team, you got a chance. But if you think about it, Boston and Chicago are really the only two teams that have played together the longest. These other teams are... You know what I mean? They're new. You know, the big three just started this year in Miami. Orlando has revamped their old team. The Knicks is a completely new team. So other than Boston and Chicago, these are the only two teams that really have played together the longest. They do have an advantage. And they are playing well because they have been together the longest.
Mm. Yeah, that could be the case. You're right about that.
I just think
that a team like that should be, you know, guys should really pay attention to. Because they could end up being the number one seed. If they keep beating up other teams like they're doing right now, they could easily be the number one seed and have an easier way to get to the playoffs. Because if you think about it, if you're number one, you play the Pacers, and then you play the winner out of the Orlando matchup. So you might have an easier role being number one than being number two and have to take on the Knicks or take on, a crappy Philadelphia team. You know, so you do got an advantage by being number one. I think that's why Boston made the move.
Yeah,
Atlanta too. Let me ask you really quick.
Joe Kim Noah as well, too. So he's back.
Exactly.
He's
that's
back
what I
Atlanta.
Mentioned. Yeah, he's back in the lineup too. Let me ask you real quick, this trade with Deron Williams to the New Jersey Nets, I know probably won't have anything to do with these playoff implications now, but how big is that for New Jersey to get a established point guard like Deron Williams? I mean, if you think about it, you know, New Jersey, anytime they've had some type of success in basketball, they've had a great point guard. I mean, that goes back to Jason Kidd.
You know, by having a good point guard, they're able to build some teams around them. We got a new owner now, but what about the decision to kind of go after Deron Williams that didn't get any kind of guarantees that he'll stay there long term?
Right.
But what about the decision
to bring
him in?
They gave up a lot. I think they did it simply to start a team. You got to start somewhere. And since they lost out on Carmelo deal, I think they did that. And they also had to sell tickets, Rodney. So,
true.
I mean, you know, he's a good kid. The guy's a good player. So why not build a team around him? You know, they did it in Utah. It was successful. So, you know, he is a good player. But I do think they gave up a lot. But if you look at it, they had no shot in the East, you know, anyway. So they had nothing to lose. They had no shot. But they do have to sell tickets. And I think they got somebody to sell tickets in New Jersey.
That's true. That's true. They got a new stadium. They got to move into next year as well right there in Brooklyn. So they do have to sell some tickets. You're right. I thought it was really interesting, too, for the first game that he was there and suited up in that New Jersey Nets uniform. Jay-Z and Beyonce were courtside together. They must have been part of the deal.
Right,
of the deal. I'll come, I'll play this year, but I need Beyonce on the front row. Yeah, we need to make sure that happens. So I'm pretty sure Jay-Z went right along with that to get that deal done. Before we get into the debate with Melo and LeBron, we do have an update about Tyson Chandler and his injury. He did return a tweet that we sent him to find out what was going on. He says, thank you, everyone, for the get wells. I'm okay. Just a sprain. So they're calling it an ankle sprain for right now. So let's see what happens, you know. Let's see what happens with that. Now, good thing about the Mavs is they do have size now. We got Brendan Haywood. We got Mahimi. So we got some players that can fill in for him if he needs to take, you know, some time off to get right for the playoffs. So the Mavs are a scary team. But we'll talk about the West on our Thursday show. But that was the NBA East right there. And let's go ahead and get to our debate real quick, Royce. And if you guys want to get involved, make sure you give us a call, 323-927-2906. And that's Melo versus LeBron. And, of course, watching the game Sunday night between the Heat and the Knicks got me to thinking about these two players. Neither one of them have won any titles yet. They're both good scorers, and they've both been in the league for the same amount of time. They've both been in the league 7 years. They're both 6'8". LeBron's 240, Carmelo's 230. They're right around the same size. And they were talked about in high school. They could have went straight from high school. Carmelo could have, although he went to Syracuse and won that national title for that 1 year. He was a one-and-done guy. Came out the same year as LeBron. Everybody talked about who would be number one pick. Him and LeBron ended up being Darko Milicic of all people. So, but I want to talk about both of these players, Royce. And if you had to start a team, if you were right there on the blacktop, you had LeBron there, you had Carmelo there. Who's the first guy you're picking on your team, and why?
Wow, I can go wrong with either pick, but I think at this point I would go with LeBron, and I'm gonna tell you why I said that, because when he was in Cleveland, he really had to carry the team, somewhat like what Carmelo has to do. You know, he went in Denver, and now he has to really be the savior for the Knicks. Well, LeBron has taken a back seat. On any given night, any one of those guys can lead the team to victory. So, for his team playing, I'd have to go with LeBron because of his style of play now. He's become very much a better team player than he has an individual player now. So, I personally would take LeBron, but if I had to pick Carmelo, I wouldn't feel bad. So what would your choice be?
You know, my choice, and people say I don't like LeBron. I think LeBron's a great player. I think he's really a great player. But I think there's something about him. It's just something that is just missing from his game. It's like he can do everything, but just can't do enough. You know, and he's the kind of guy, Ronnie. Well, he's so hard to build. It's LeBron, if you look at their stats, look at the stats between both of them. Career-wise, Melo's averaging 24.8 points a game. LeBron's averaging 27.7. But, you know, this year, they're about even. Melo's averaging 25. LeBron's averaging 26. Career-wise and rebounding, you know, career-wise, Melo's averaging 6.3 rebounds. LeBron's averaging 7.1.
Right.
Assists per game, Melo's only averaging 3 assists, LeBron's averaging 7 assists. So, you know, if you look at the paper, you know, look at the stats on paper, LeBron with his MVP award, he's got an NBA Finals appearance as well. You would say LeBron easily, looking at the paper.
Right.
But to your point, LeBron's had to do more for his team than Melo has. You know, Melo has had a good supporting cast around him, Chauncey Billups, Allen Iverson.
Right.
You know, he's had a better supporting cast around him than LeBron has. So I think the numbers are kind of thrown out by that, because I think if Melo had to carry a team by himself, like he did in Syracuse the year they won the title, his numbers would be way higher than LeBron, in my opinion. You know, he'd have more assists, he had more points, he'd have more rebounds, because he would have to do a lot more than what LeBron does. If I had to take one player off a pure game alone on the blacktop, I think I'm going to have to take Melo.
Okay, well, I can respect that. Like I said, you can't go wrong with either player. I know how you feel about LeBron. I know that has something to do with it. But if you think about it, LeBron has never been hurt. He's played just about every game. He's a solid player. He's an all-around player. He can play multiple positions. And to me, okay, if you switch these guys up roles-wise, they would be about equal. Say if Carmelo went to Miami, you know, it'd been the same thing. So in my opinion, they are both about equal, and you can't go wrong picking either one. But I'm just saying, is what I see right now, as far as a team player, I think LeBron is playing better team ball right now than Carmelo. Carmelo is more so a selfish player. He looks for his shot first and pass second.
Well, it's his game, though. But you can't blame him for playing his role.
That's his game, but I would like to get the ball sometime. You ask me who would I pick on the blacktop, I think I'd feel better playing with LeBron because I feel like he would pass me the ball more.
Okay.
Let's take
a quick call real fast. We got people lined up to react to this whole Melo versus LeBron debate. Let me put on, and I'm identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, 0269. You are live on the RS Sports Radio Show. What's your comment? Are you going with LeBron or are you going with Melo?
What's up with you, RF, man? It's Rob Stein.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good. Now, I'm really interested to hear what you got to say about this.
You already know, man. When it's a LeBron topic, you know I got to call in. Yeah, I was checking out the show, man. I'm going to join y'all's show tonight. But, man, I'm going to break down both of their games. Melo, I think he's a pure scorer. He's a great rebounder. He can create at times, but I feel like he's not as versatile as LeBron. I think LeBron could play, you know, up to 4 positions, possibly 5, depending on who they're matching up with on that given night. And he can guard all 5 positions. And I feel like he's a better passer. He is more assertive as far as on, you know, getting his teammates involved. And they're about the same type of rebounders anyway. Melo might be a better offensive rebounder, but I think Melo has the better post-up game, obviously, because I'm very critical of LeBron's post-up game. That's the one element that I think that he's missing that I think that you didn't key in on. I think he's missing the post-up game. That will elevate him to that Kobe status. But other than that, man, I would take LeBron on the blacktop any day. I think just by slim margin.
Wow. You're not
taking into account the fact that, you know, since they've been knowing each other, even playing in high school, playing in the pros, Melo's always had that slight edge over LeBron.
Yeah, he has won. Yeah, you're right. He has won the games most of the times. But as far as on just individual players, man, and willing his team to win and taking that fiery Cleveland team to the finals, even though they didn't win a game against the Spurs, I would have to give a nod to LeBron. I would have to.
Yeah.
That's smart, man. Thank God.
If y'all don't know who that is, that's Han Rossine. And Rossine, now, he does a sports corner every Wednesday on the Icebreaker Radio Show. But you also got your own show coming up here pretty soon, though, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's coming up pretty soon, about a month's time. Not sure on the exact date, but it's going to come pretty soon. I will keep everybody posted. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate the love.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all, man. You know you're more than welcome anytime on the show.
Let us know so we can call in and get a good conversation going.
Yeah, hey, no you doubt. Already know, man. Yeah, me and RF on the radio. It's classic radio. It's what the people want to hear.
Radio,
you already know.
Okay, well, let me keep you on. Let me keep you on real quick, Rossi. Let me get your opinion on something else real fast. Now we've been talking a little bit about Melo, LeBron, but let me ask you guys a quick question. This may solve it all for everyone. Who wins the title first, LeBron with the Heat or Melo with the Knicks? Royce, I'm gonna ask you first.
I gotta go with Miami on them. I gotta
you
go with Miami.
So? Well, let me ask you, Rossi, because you're an NBA connoisseur. You know, you can digest it, you can chew it up, spit it out, and it still look like the NBA.
Right.
So let me ask you, if you had to pick one player that's going to win first, is it going to be Melo with the Knicks, or is it going to be LeBron and the Heat in the big three there?
I have a circumstance, RF, and I hate to make this difficult, but I give the nod to LeBron only and only if Pat Riley comes down to coach, because I really don't like the Heat's offense right now. So with that being said, it doesn't look like Pat Riley is going to come down. I would have to give the nod to the Knicks, and I hate saying that because LeBron's my favorite player, but I can't be biased on the situation. I like what New York, like I said last week, I think their pieces mesh a lot better than Miami's piece.
Yeah.
Even though they kind of
small, you know what, though,
they still think
change.
They can get it done.
And let's just assume that, because I think he hit the nail on the head, because if you think about it, the acquisition of Chauncey Billups gives them some type of facilitator out there on the floor to give the guys the ball at the right time and to be the guy to step up and take a shot. But let's take into account, Royce, that, you know, Mike Bibby will be a Heat player here pretty soon. He's going to take over Carlos Arroyo's spot. So they're going to have a guy that's played point guard in some clutch situations. They help them out, so they could be a better team in that aspect. But I think, you know, honestly, I think the Knicks, like you said, have a better mesh of players right now. And the way they beat the Heat on Sunday, that was impressive to me. I'm sorry. I had to say it. I know they lost to Orlando tonight, but they're not big down low. But they beat the Heat, you know, handily right there in Miami, Royce. You got to remember that.
Well, you're right, Rodney, but I'm going to say that he hit the nail right on the head. Now, if you're talking about the Knicks versus Miami in the playoffs, I got to look at the coaches, too. You know, you got that talk about the Miami coaches. I think if anybody blow it, it'd be the coach. And that Tony don't play defense. They just don't. They play defense Sunday. But that his team just don't play defense. You know, they try to outscore people. And that's Miami can't tighten the screws on defense. I've seen them do it before. They're not going to win every game. They got the best of them Sunday. But in the seven-game series, I got to go with Miami.
Yeah, and Ross, team, before we let you go, man, seven-game series, man, what's going to be the best series in the East to watch? Is it going to be Heat and the Knicks, or will it be Boston and Miami? If you had to pick two teams in the East that you wanted to see go seven games, who would it be?
Oh, I would have to say it would have to be Boston and Miami, man.
I think it's
the storyline behind it, because Miami has yet to beat Boston, and, you know, with that Kendrick Perkins trade going down this past week, they could play a big factor in the intimidation of the Heat, vice versa, you know. So maybe that big man down low, let LeBron and D-Wade run wild in that paint. So I don't know. I would love to see how the series will play out.
Yeah, I can't wait to be here before we know it.
I'd like to see Chicago and Miami. That'd be a good game.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, too. But that's our show for tonight, guys. Y'all make sure y'all check out him, Rossi, tomorrow night on Icebreaker Radio. They come on at 7 o'clock. You go to Blog Talk Radio, do a search for Icebreaker Radio. You can find him there. I want to thank him for coming on. That's been our show tonight, guys. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Same time, same channel, the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective.